You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
Oh, wow, do we have a story for you today on Finishing Well with certified financial planner Hans Scheil and his trusty assistant, Tom Griffin. No, it's Griffith, like Andy. I got to remember that.
Yeah.
But today's show is Rejoicing in Caregiving. And you may wonder, Robbie, how do you get there? Well, it wasn't me. It was Paul, actually. And he said in Colossians 1:24, this is a fascinating verse. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and in my physical body for the sake of his body, the church. I fill up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. So I find that more than fascinating. Paul is talking about there's apparently some kind of a bucket or something that needs to be filled up with suffering, and he's considering it his joy to be able to take part in that suffering for the body of Christ. And in our case today, on Finishing Well, as part of our story and talking about long-term care, Tom, you came into a season last September of some severe suffering. But almost as you discovered, it's harder on the caregiver, isn't it? Than it kind of is. It's easier to be the patient because, you know, you're not the one that has to worry.
I mean, that's absolutely true. At some level, you know, I'll get into some details here in a second, but I was essentially laying in a hospital bed doing therapy, and my wife's the one having to take care of everything. So it was, you know, not saying what I went through was easy, but for a lot of reasons, I had the easy job. I just had to sit there and go do my therapy and eat and shower and, you know, that kind of stuff. And she was having to, we had an 8-month-old child at the time. She's having to take care of him, take care of the, you know, food, you know, the household, mow the grass, which was something I would normally do. I mean, there was just a lot of things that she had to do just on her own. So
to take us back there, number one, for those of you who can't see Tom, he's a very young man. How old are you, Tom?
I'm 27 now. At the time it happened, I was 26.
Right. So it's just it was less than a year ago.
Less than a year ago.
It was in September. So what happened?
Yeah. So, I mean, early September, throughout the week, I was kind of having a headache. Hadn't really, you know, didn't think much of it. Just thought, you know, I need more sleep or something like that. Maybe I'm dehydrated. Anyways, we get back to Charlotte to visit our family, and my wife she was saying, there's something wrong. We need to go to the ER. I was being the stubborn man that I was. I didn't want to go. But she eventually forced me to go. And the first time we went, they just kind of gave me some pain meds and sent me home, say, you'll be fine. She wasn't agreeing with that. And so we actually went back the next day. Things have gotten a little bit worse. I was sleeping all the time, you know, just not awake. And so we went back. That would have been a Sunday we went in. Monday morning come around, I don't have any recollection of Monday or Tuesday. I was completely out of it. I was unresponsive. I just was not, you know, I didn't know who people were. And so they did a bunch of scans, a bunch of tests. They couldn't really figure out what was going on. They were thinking it might be viral meningitis. There was some swelling in the brain, things like that. But things started improving a little bit. You know, I was conscious again. And then by Thursday, they actually sent me home or back to our parents' house. And, you know, they take it easy. Don't do anything too hard. You know, just keep an eye on these things. Well, I started kind of throwing up and my legs started feeling a little bit weak. So we went back into the hospital on Friday. Come Saturday morning, I wake up and can't move my legs. I was, you know, immobile. I could not move anything. And so fast forward, you know, they ended up transferring me back to Wake Med and Raleigh. And I was in rehab for about a month doing inpatient rehabbers, you know, 3 hours of physical therapy each day, trying to get better. And things improved from, you know, where I couldn't move my legs, where I could at least kind of move them some. But I was still in a wheelchair when they sent me home. And so, you know, that kind of started the, you know, she's still having to take care of everything in the meantime. But then that started the long process of kind of getting back to where I am now, which fortunately I've improved drastically since then. Like if you saw me now, you wouldn't know anything had happened. But it's, you know, a lot
So what was it actually that happened?
It was I had a they didn't really know at the time. Since then, we've discovered I have a fairly rare autoimmune disorder that attacks my central nervous system. So it attacked in that instance, it attacked my brain and my spinal cord. And that's really kind of in succession. It was the brain first and the spinal cord. And then even after that, I had something with my optic nerve. It got inflamed and had some blurred vision. But in the big scheme of things, the vision was kind of a minor one. But spent some time up at the Mayo Clinic and got some answers. And, you know, they think they can control it. Now that we know what we're dealing with, they think that they can control it somewhat. But it's been a eventful year. And on top of all that, having a child during all that was not the easiest to deal with.
Yeah. How old was your child when that started?
He was 8 months old when I went in the hospital. And so, you know, not a real early baby, but still, you know, still needs a lot of attention, as all you've had children can imagine.
And so Hans, as a boss, where were you when all this was happening?
Well, last spring, a year ago now, back in the spring, both Tom and another young advisor that we had both passed their CFP exam at 26 years old or 25 years old? 25 years old. So I had two 25-year-old CFPs working with me in my firm, and I have another CFP who's in his 20s. And so I am pretty excited about my team. And first week in September, the other CFP resigned. It was a shock to all of us. He just left over some philosophical matter that was just, it wasn't anything with us, or it wasn't anything too personal. He tried to do it right. But anyhow, he left, and that was very stressful on Tom and me and the whole organization. And then, like a week later, Tom just doesn't come back to work. And so I've lost both of these guys in just a matter of 4 or 5 months, at least from the day-to-day and the work. So I rely on Tom just unbelievable amount. But we figured it out. I mean, I got together with my associate, and, you know, the first thing I've got to look at is the business. But I also, you know, I'm just thinking about, so I really never saw Tom face-to-face, I don't think, maybe even for a couple of months. It was
right.
Probably even late November, December, yeah, before we actually met. But I did see your wife. She came by one day without an appointment, I mean, which is great. I mean, you know, we were just thrilled to see her. And then I got her off in a room and never brought up whether we're paying you. She never asked me, you know, like, gee, you've been paying Tom, and how long are you going to do that? Or I never brought it up and frankly didn't think about it a lot. It wasn't just on top of my mind. I just was concerned about you and knowing that you have this bright future. And I'm really counting on you to be one of the people that takes over the business and takes care of our clients, you know, when I leave this world or leave the business. So I was just as befuddled as him, but I really had a sense of the burden that Chelsea was carrying, because she met with me several times. And then when Tom came in, really just around, like, how are we going to get him back to work, or he's at home, can he work, is it going to be good for him to work, and how can we get his work to do at home, can we put a phone in his house? But I just had a sense of the enormous burden that she was carrying, and really tried to relieve some of that, and tried to ask her, like, can we do some things to help you as a mom, and a, you know, like, can we send somebody over to mow the lawn, or, you know, can we babysit, and can my wife and I mean, just things like people in your church were doing for you. We were just as confused as you.
So you find yourself here, and the name of this show is called Rejoicing in the Suffering for the Caregiver. This was a valuable thing for your family from a standpoint of, you learned some stuff that really comes in pretty handy. I remember myself, I found out that, wow, you know, having a wife when these things happen, that really loves you and stands by you, is number one, is critical. I mean, imagine that really is encouraging to you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was. She was a huge help in all that. I mean, like I said, at the worst of it, I was unresponsive. And so, you know, I had no way. She's better at it than I am anyways, but I had no way of advocating for myself when I was in the hospital, which is extremely important. And so she played a huge role in doing that and really just making sure that I was getting the care that I needed and talking to the doctors and everything like that. So having someone to lean on was just extremely important during that time. And I mean, it really just turned me back to my faith. It's like, you know, I've been a Christian for a while and, you know, go to church regularly, but you know, just seeing just the need and just realizing that life is so fragile and that, you know, things can happen just unexpectedly. And it really is not in our control. You know, it's in God's control. It's his hands, and he has a plan for us, whether we see it or not.
Well, Tom, you had asked the next time we talk about long-term care that you wanted to come on the show and talk about it. So why are we telling this story from your perspective on this financial show?
Sure. So, I mean, the reason I wanted to come on here and talk about it was not how you plan for it financially. I mean, we have all the answers for that, but really to talk about how it affects your family when it happens. You know, one of the things that I've kind of learned in all my studying and teaching through this, one of the things they talk about is, you know, what does it do to the family and what does it do to the caregivers? And you know, it's said and it's talked about a lot where the caregivers could end up getting sick. And, you know, I kind of knew that conceptually. But my wife, like, taking care of me only for that like, three-month stretch where she was having to, she got sick herself taking care of us. I mean, it was a lot of stress on her having to take care of me. And I'm the sick one. And now she's sick having to try to take care of herself. I mean, she just didn't take the time needed to take care of herself. And so, you know, it's important to not only think about the financial aspect of everything, but really what burden that puts upon your family, the ones who are essentially are going to be taking care of you during that time. So I think that's why I wanted to come on and talk about it.
Yeah, clearly you've got firsthand experience.
Sure, sure. And I mean, and it's, you know, like I said, I feel very fortunate that it only lasted 3 months and that I'm back to work now. And, you know, you would see me, you'd think I'm 100%, but unfortunately, a lot of the clients we're talking to, that's not the situation. You know, their condition doesn't get better in a short period of time. If anything, it's getting worse over time. And so I can only just imagine. I haven't had to deal with that personally at that level. But, you know, if you have had to deal with it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Is it just gets harder and harder to take care of us.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Finishing Well with Certified Financial Planner Hans Scheil and his trusty sidekick today, Tom Griffith.
Griffith.
I'll get it right eventually. And their book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, which you'll find at cardinalguide.com. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Tom, more from Hans, on how you might be setting yourself up, really, to rejoice for the caregiver. Stay tuned.
Hans and I would love to take our show on the road to your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Here's a chance for you to advance the kingdom through financial resources by leveraging Hans' expertise in qualified charitable contributions, veterans' aid and attendance, IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care. Just go to cardinalguide.com and contact Hans to schedule a live recording of Finishing Well at your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Contact Hans at cardinalguide.com. That's cardinalguide.com.
Welcome back to Finishing Well. Today's show, we're talking about rejoicing in the caregiver, which, boy, I can tell you, if you're the one that needs it, it would be something that you clearly could rejoice. But it's also good to think that, wow, we are counted worthy, right, to suffer at times, Tom's. And as we heard in the first segment, Tom's story of what happened last fall and his illness and his subsequent, you know, situation with his wife. But, you know, as you think through that story as a 26-year-old and you're now talking to somebody that is talking about long-term care, what's the first thing they usually say when you say, well, you know, if you considered this happening in your own life, what's the normal response?
Sure. I mean, like I said, this is something we bring up with most of the clients, and a lot of people are hesitant and don't really want to talk about it. And some of the objections we get or some of the things we hear back from them is, oh, my family will take care of me is a very common one. or they're not going to put me in a nursing home, or another common one is, I don't think that will happen to me. And you know, the reason that I just feel strongly about this is, like, as a 26-year-old healthy guy, I mean, I was out playing soccer, playing basketball. I mean, I was doing things, and then one day I couldn't walk. I mean, we never planned for this to happen. We hope it never happens, but we just don't know what is going to happen. And so I think it's important to at least plan for and think about what the consequences would be if it does.
Yeah, because your wife was how old at the time that you were?
She would have been 26 as well. So, yeah, she's 26 trying to take care of me.
And she got sick. So you can imagine if you're saying, okay, my wife or my kids, because, you know, as I get older, guess right. what? So do my kids. And so now you're talking about a 70-year-old wife and, you know, 50-year-old kids and stuff. And so all of a sudden this changes. And I can tell you from personal experience, you had it happen with your wife when you almost fell getting out of the shower. I had it happen with my dad when I was taking care of him at home. One time we got him back from the hospital and I needed to get him back to the bed. And he couldn't get out of the chair. And you think, well, you know, Robbie, you're 250-pound, big, strong guy. And your dad at this point in time might have been 135 pounds. You think it's easy to get him into a wheelchair to get him over? That by no means. It about freaked me out. We both about lost it. And I'd hate to think, you know, what it would be if my wife had tried to do that, or, you know, somebody like that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we were in the hospital and I had gotten a little bit better at this point. I thought I could get to the shower on my own to take a shower without the nurses helping. And I mean, it's kind of embarrassing to have someone bathe you. And so my wife was there. She was trying to talk me out of it. But I, you know, like I said, I'm a little bit stubborn. I was like, you know, I think I can make it. And so about halfway there, we realized I can't make it. This is not a good idea. This is a mistake. And she's trying to help me and she couldn't get me back into the bed. So we had to call the nurses, and luckily I didn't completely fall over and hurt myself, which, you know, could have easily happened. But the nurses got there, and when you know what you're doing, they were able to get me back in bed fairly easily. But if you don't have the training, you just don't know what you don't know. I mean, you don't know how to take care of someone and move them in the proper way that's safe and really effective. So, I mean, it's worth considering all these things.
Okay, so we're talking about this on this show because we want to give you real life experiences that we deal with through our clients every day and every week, where we're just talking to people, kind of like an experience like you had being the caregiver for your father. And you had done some planning. Some of it was last minute planning. You wished you'd done more, Robbie, but we're bringing this to everybody's attention because we're talking to people generally in their 60s, sometimes in their 70s, in their 50s, you know, in that 50 to 70, 80 variety where you're tuning into this show. You may think it's too late for you. It's never too late. Come in. We can do some planning. But we're talking about this situation because you need to plan out, like, what if this happens to me? How's my family going to handle it? What if this happens to my spouse? How am I going to handle it? How are we going to handle it? Financially is just part of the problem. But what money does is it gives you choices. Finances and insurance gives you choices that you wouldn't have without the money.
And you know, the proper legal steps that you guys talk about all the time. Actually, in my own life today, this very day, I have two dear friends that both of which, if they had taken your advice and gotten, you know, the basic stuff, a power of attorney, a healthcare power of attorney, you know, a HIPAA agreement and a will, there would be major, major crises, two major crises that wouldn't be going on right now. I know of one situation where a man is totally septic and he did not give permission for them to amputate his leg. And now he may die because there isn't anybody that can step forward with a power of attorney to say, yes, take his leg.
A medical power of attorney.
Right, a medical yeah. power of attorney. Yeah. And there's another situation where somebody is not unable to get buried that I know of because there was no will. And these things are, you know, just part of what you guys talk about.
Part of the whole thing.
Part of the planning. And long-term care is definitely a big part of it, as I'm now finding, that, you know, these things are happening, like, more and more.
Well, and so you want to have the flexibility and the money to hire professionals to do some of the work so that you can do – the loving part of the work. I mean, listen, Chelsea did a number of things at 26 years old that you couldn't do if she was a spouse that was 76 years old, okay? I mean, she has a lot more stamina. She recovered from it a lot quicker. I mean, granted, you have an eight-month-old child that added to the whole thing. But generally, providing this type of care, it's the adult children. So if you were in your 70s or 80s, you know, having this type of crisis, it wouldn't have been Chelsea. It would have been your son or daughter who's going to be stepping in. And they need to be empowered, and they need a plan from you in place with your wishes. And then part of that plan, the insurance, the long-term care insurance is not the plan. The plan is separate from that. But the long-term care insurance funds the plan. It provides the money to pay for the professionals to take care of you either at home or in an assisted living facility. And we've told this whole story. First of all, Tom matters a lot to us, and he matters to many of you that are our clients that we know listen. You know that Tom works very closely with me, and he's the one doing a lot of the work behind while I'm out running around talking to people. And he matters to us, and he's had an experience, and I've just seen him with clients over the last several months just bring up, look, let me just tell you what happened to me. And it's not like he planned to bring it up. We really want to impress upon you that you need to get a plan in place for long-term care if and when it happens to your family, mainly because you love your family and you don't want them to go through the consequences that are inevitable if this isn't planned.
Right, and they're in the idea of, you know, how much suffering do you want to put on the caregiver, because the caregiver is going to take on things that you really never would have dreamed. You know, I know when I had cancer and I went through some things, what happened to my wife, I never would have guessed that really she ended up with a real short end of the particular stick. And so, you know, those are things that, you know, are definitely worth considering. And you can consider them by going to cardinalguide.com and clicking on the 7 Worries tab. Today's chapter, you know, long-term care, clearly, you know, Hans has told me, and I really believe this, that if there's a place where he feels like he's really borne fruit for the kingdom of God, where he really feels like he's helped families face some major things that would have been unbelievably hard on their families had they not had long-term care. And so I find that fascinating that, you know, here's a man who clearly does all these different financial projects, products, but in his own heart and in his eyes, you can see the people that were actually helped by this. This is where the rubber meets the road on suffering. Right? When you actually are seeing that loved one who can't get out of bed, who can't really function, who can't really make decisions anymore on their own, all those things are really, really difficult. And what a time to have professionals come in and be able to help and fund the plan like you're talking about.
Well, and so having agreement of what the plan is long before it happens, I mean, families fight over this stuff. I know a lot of you listening say, oh, my family's not going to fight, or I mean, you get in a stressful situation, people have different ideas of what's best for mom and dad. They just do. And then, you know, that's a consequence, that if mom or dad have their wishes laid out and then they have the proper powers of attorney in place to empower perhaps their kid that they've determined has the most common sense and sense to follow that thing out and then instruct him or her to brief the brothers and sisters on what and get their counsel, but let them make a decision. There are just all types of intricate things that are going to come into play if this happens to you. And I'd much rather see you plan that out while you're healthy and of sound mind now than just leave it to chance and leave it to your family to bicker over, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, because it really is where it falls down when things start to come undone, is families fight like crazy. I can't believe what I've seen over the last couple of years.
You know, I can't believe you're paying $25 an hour to those home health care people. I mean, you can hear that out of dad when, you know, when the people are coming in and then the son's amen over there. You shouldn't be paying those people. You should be doing that yourself. I mean, it's just stranger things have been said than that. And, you know, what money? Where are you getting this money? And, you know, and it just, it is a bad situation. and it's made worse by not having a plan. And so we brought this whole story in and we've shared it with you. And thank you for sharing it, Tom. We just want to impress upon you that the time to plan for long-term care is now.
Yeah, and there are options. And that does not mean, you know, I would have thought before I started doing the show with you, Hans, that if I'm buying long-term care insurance, it means I'm planning on going on a nursing home. Actually, that would be the last thing that I would be planning for. I'd actually be planning for home health care to come in and help my kids to do what it is that I did with my
dad. That's what I'm doing.
Right.
I mean, you know, if it's absolutely necessary, I'm going over to the home. You know, I mean, they're going to put me in there. But anything short of that,
yeah,
I got the money. I've got a big long-term care policy that's just ready to pay the home health care agency.
And right. And so nice.
Hope I never use it.
That your kids would be just in that position to, you know, love on you and be able to not have to try to lift you. And
sure.
So, you know, there's the case. Well, as always, you can go to cardinalguide.com. Don't forget the guide after cardinal. And download the passage or the on the Seven Worries tab on home, on long-term care. And so this was great. Tom, thank you for your story again, for your vulnerability and what you and your wife went through. And we thank you for listening. It's precious. And go to cardinalguide.com.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. Visit CardinalGuide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and The Workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, go to CardinalGuide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's CardinalGuide.com. CardinalGuide.com.